How did you spend time during the pandemic? Was it a lonely time for you, or were you able to spend much needed time with your family? Well, the book Tom Lake explores one family as they survive the pandemic together. This small family of three daughters hang on to their mother's every word as she recalls her time with the famous movie star Peter Duke and their time at Tom Lake. In this episode, we briefly touch on the plot, then dive deeper into the book as we explore the themes and how they develop over the story. Then we'll end by discussing the character development and what we learn from each character. This book follows two storylines. The first is Laura and her husband Joe and their three daughters, all living together at their farm on Tom Lake. They are struggling to make ends meet when their workers aren't around because of the pandemic, so each of them is working hard to pick fruit and keep the farm going. During their downtime, the girls ask Laura about her time on Tom Lake, working with Peter Duke, famous movie star, and the oldest daughter Emily was head over heels in love with growing up. She even thought that Duke might be her actual father. Laura starts telling her story about how she met Peter Duke and ends up at Tom Lake, but she actually ends up telling them her whole life story. She starts by talking about how she first got into acting, about her first love, about how she lost her best friend, and then later aches for that friend. She talks about her life with her grandmother and how she didn't really know her mother, but her grandmother taught her how to sew and tailor clothing. Then she talks about how she got into acting. The play Our Town was a big play in her town growing up. Laura's first acting job was as the headlining role of Emily. This was the role that Laura was meant to play, and she plays it first in her town and then at her college. It is her college performance that she is recruited by Bill Ripley, who takes her to Hollywood and puts her in her first movie. The movie takes a long time to get produced, and she thinks it may never go to the big screen. In the meantime, she tries out to play Emily on Broadway. She didn't get that job, but she does get offered a job to play Emily at Tom Lake. From the moment that Laura stepped on the scene at Tom Lake, she was swept up by the wonder that was summer season. She explains that days feel like weeks, yet it was all a blur at the same time. Within moments of being at Tom Lake, she meets Peter Duke, who just goes by Duke, and they start their summer fling. Laura is in love with him. She loves his charm, his charisma, his way of being everything to everyone. But most of all, she admires his dedication to his craft. Duke was an excellent actor. He threw himself into all of his roles. It seems like he was very much what we call nowadays a method actor. He lived his life as if he were a character. If his character was drunk, he was drunk. If his character was a smoker, he was a smoker, and so on. Laura's time with Duke seems like a happy one. She also had a friend named Pallas, who was a beautiful dancer. She was Laura's understudy, but it's clear she didn't get the part because of her race. Otherwise, she was very talented. Alice falls in love with Duke's brother Sebastian, who was a tennis pro in a nearby city. The four of them make the perfect match for double dates and summer fun. Laura loves her role in Our Town, but in the second part of the summer season, she is supposed to play another role in Fool for Love, but this role is out of her league. She is used to playing the good girl, and this role is so not that. Also during this time, Laura gets injured playing tennis with Sebastian. He tears her Achilles tendon and she is out of Our Town forever. During this time, Pallas takes Laura's place in both plays and finishes the season. She is lovely in the play, but it's clear that she and Duke have started sleeping together. This crushes Sebastian, so much so that he leaves poor Laura injured in the theater and she cannot get out. Somewhat oblivious to the affair, Laura gets heartbroken by her friends, but refines her talent for sewing. Ultimately, Laura is left utterly lost when she realizes that Duke has moved on, but it is thanks to Laura that Duke gets his start. Laura then lives the next 3 years of her life in limbo. She stays with her grandmother until she passes away, Then she gets a job as a seamstress on Broadway. It is there that she reconnects with Joe Nelson, the director of Our Town, and they start their relationship. It is clear that Laura and Joe were meant to be, and after marrying and living in town, they both decided to take up their lives at John and Maisie's farm. As Laura tells her story, the girls hang on every moment. It is clear to us, the reader, that Laura is so content with how her life turned out, and she wouldn't have had it any other way. But her girls were young, and little Nell saw her dreams in her mother. They were devastated to see her leave the world of acting and live such a mundane life. But her oldest daughter, Emily, seems to get it. This is a very brief summary of the book, so let's look at topics and themes. Memory appears to be one of the most prevalent topics in this book. In the book Outliers, and a few other places, Malcolm Gladwell talks about how our memory is not a reliable source of information because of our own bias, and the way we choose to remember things can be impacted by our own thoughts and recollections. I think that Patchett captures that sentiment in a lovely way when she talks about the past through Laura. As I just mentioned, it is clear that Laura found her bliss in the end, and although it wasn't a glamorous life, she was able to feel happy and fulfilled by the people around her. Let's break down some of the quotes dealing with memory and see what the messages behind them were. There is no explaining this simple truth about life. You will forget much of it. The painful things you were certain you'd never be able to let go, now you're not entirely sure when they happened. While the thrilling parts, the heart-stopping joys, splintered and scattered, and became something else. Memories then replaced by different joys and larger sorrows, and unbelievably, those things get knocked aside as well. Until one morning, you're picking cherries with your three grown daughters, and your husband goes by on the gator, and you're positive that this is all you've ever wanted in the world. I love this quote because it's relatable. I'm not very old, but I understand the sentiment behind it. There are moments in my life that I thought I'd never forget that feel like small blips now, and moments I spent with my children that filled me with such joy. This quote captures what it means to be a mother in just a few sentences. The next two quotes are about time passing. When I go down the hall and find Maisie and Nell asleep in their twin beds, I see them both as they were, grown women and little girls. And a second quote, I am 57, I am 24. These two passages remind me of a short story by Sandra Cisneros. In it, she describes age like Russian nesting dolls, one inside the other. And I feel that's what it's like to age. We are a collective of our past and present selves. You can pull out a memory of when you are 12 or when you are 4, and it's like you're that age again. I love this idea for so many reasons, but most of all, I think it's great to visualize what it feels like to get older. The next quote is a simple truth. We remember the people we hurt so much more clearly than the people who hurt us. So much of what we remember is steeped in emotion. We wish we could hold on to every lovely moment, but it's usually the moments that hurt us the most that we hold on to the most. The way that memory is explored in this book is very authentic. Much of Laura's memories are filled with emotions and the lines of Emily, so let's move to talking about plays. My junior year was 7 weeks from completion, but I kept thinking this was the first day of my true education. None of the books I had read were as important as this. None of my history tests had taught me how to act, and by act, I don't mean on stage. I mean in real life. That's what I was seeing, how to present myself to the world. But seeing adults stumble and fail was something else entirely. I love this quote because I think it captures perfectly what being a young adult is like. Nothing teaches you about life more than seeing a bunch of people fail at something that seems so easy. Laura spends most of her young adult life on the stage, and she learns many life lessons from Our Town. Here is a quote that sums up her experience. The beauty and sufferings are equally true. Our Town taught me that. I'd memorized the lessons before I understood what they meant. No matter how many years ago I stopped playing Emily, she's still here, All of Grover's Corner is in me. The beautiful thing about the moments we see on stage is that they are a reflection of our everyday lives. Playwrights do a great job at capturing what it means to be human. Clara was so wise. She learned so many important things about real life from acting, and I loved hearing her thoughts about the people in her plays and the lessons she learned from them. The most powerful part of this story to me wasn't even part of the main story. It was just a side detail given to a side character. Laura's grandmother. Laura tells of an uncle she never knew because he was a sleepwalker. In the middle of a wintry night, the young boy just walked outside the door, and they didn't find him till the next morning when he had already passed away. Then, when Laura's grandmother is passing, she sees that same boy again on the other side. This moment was so beautiful that I had to stop reading and cry and reflect on the importance of children and their mothers, and that's a topic I would like to unpack next. Each girl is a fragment of Laura and her husband. Emily loves the farm like both of her parents, and she keeps her emotions in like her mother used to do. Maisie is like her mother and her namesake grandmother. She cares deeply for animals and cares about people. She's also tough and can handle the truth. And Nell is like her mother in her desire to be an actress. Each of these parts make the whole of Laura. While we are different from our parents, we are still parts of each other. One part of the book I thought was a curious addition was Laura's abortion. It definitely didn't need to be in the book, and it didn't add or detract from the plot. However, I do think it helps us to understand why Laura is not judgmental about Emily's choice not to have kids. Because Laura had been through a situation where she gave up a child, she's better able to understand the right to choose that future for herself, instead of forcing her opinions on her children. The mother-daughter relationships in this book teach us about the modern parent-child dynamic. I feel that parents are so much closer now and more open than parents have been in the past. Yes, Laura did keep things from her children, but she's still willing to share deeply vulnerable parts of her life with her girls. This seems to be different from the relationship that Laura had with her own parents and her grandmother. Overall, there are a number of things that we can learn about mothers and daughters. What do you think that Padgett wanted to take away from these relationships? Let me know in the comments below. It would seem that on the surface, Peter Duke had the life that everyone wanted. He was a famous Hollywood movie star with money and charisma. He's the kind of guy that people knew and loved and wanted to be like. However, he wasn't truly happy. We see that in the moment Duke returns to the farm to be amongst the graves on the hills of the cherry farm. People often think that having more will make them happy, but that is truly not the case. Laura had everything. She had the star power, the fame, the boyfriend, but she found that life to be hollow. The people that she loved the most left her to move to bigger and better things, and she was okay with that. She didn't know it at the time, but leaving the stage led to a happy life. Here's a quote that shows this. Funny enough, this turned out to be the thing that saved me, the knowledge that I could get back to myself. It is true that not all of us will give up a life so fantastic as Laura's, but we will have to sacrifice our goals or go through a difficult time. Laura's struggle was so relatable because it mirrors many of our own lives. She grows through the toughest times to really find herself and find what makes her happy. Here's one last quote about this subject. "I don't see why you have to give up one for the other," she says. "You don't have to," I tell my daughter. "You want to. You wake up one day and you don't want the carnival anymore. In fact, you can't believe that you did." Our happiest moments are usually not the carnival moments. They are found in the small things. Overall, we create the lives that we want for ourselves. Not everyone finds happiness in the same way, but I can say for certain that the little things matter the most. Now let's move to characters. Laura was by far my favorite character from this book. Here is a quote from her. "Loved being trapped with my family on the farm while my world goes up in flames? Not so much." I think I relate to Laura so much because I too was a mother during the pandemic and I enjoyed my time with my children. Yes, my children were only 5 and 2, and I was pregnant with my third. But I understand the sentiment. During this time, my whole family was together. We didn't have to work, and we were with each other 24/7. I loved this time with my kids and found it to be some of the happiest days of my life. This is how Laura felt with her girls. Like this time where life was shut down was some of the best times of their life. Laura is a great narrator because she is frank. She says things like they are. I'm sure this has much to do with her age. She can be honest with us because she has lived her life. Also, she's more honest with us than she can be with her own children. There are some things that you keep to yourself that your children don't need to know about. I respect that choice. I am normally not a fan of first-person narration, but I do think it was perfect for a book like this. It allows us to gain more information about Laura and her thoughts. This first person was less annoying than the first-person narration of a young adult novel. So, it's pleasant to escape into an older, wiser person's thoughts. Emily's righteous anger was so relatable to me. When she describes the feeling of hating her parents for burning the tree, I was brought back to my own parents cutting down my favorite tree in my backyard. Emily was perfect for showing us how our dynamic with our parents shift as we get older. When she was younger, she couldn't understand her parents and their thoughts. But now that she is older, she understands what it must have been like to be her parents. Peter Duke was such a fun character. Oftentimes we romanticize Hollywood actors and the lives that they live, but it does seem like they carry a heavy burden as well. Duke was someone who threw himself headfirst into his projects, but never really seemed to get the life he wanted. The serene life that he found on the hills of that cherry field. His brother Sebastian was a perfect counter to Peter. He was level-headed, loyal, caring, and thoughtful. He loved his brother so much it hurt. The additions of these two brothers let us know how much Duke was struggling. Without Sebastian, I'm not sure that we would have been able to really understand Duke, and he really rounds out his character. There were other notable characters in this book, such as Uncle Wallace, Jill Nelson, Callis, Lee, Nell, Maisie, and so many more. But these characters really help to round out the story and help Laura relate to the story. Who was your favorite character in the book? Let me know in the comments below. I rated this book 4 out of 5 stars. The writing is beautiful, and if you get the chance to listen to Meryl Streep do the audio, life-changing. However, I did think the pace of this novel was a little too slow. While I loved the themes discussed and the narrative style, I found myself on the side of Laura's girls, asking her to hurry up and get to the good part already. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of According to Your English Teacher. Please take a moment to leave a comment or write a review. If you don't have time for that, please hit the subscribe button. This will let you know when another podcast episode is out. Your support of my podcast helps other people to find my podcast and build our community of readers. I'd like to leave you with one last quote. I look at my girls, my brilliant young women. I want them to think that I was better than I was, and I want to tell them the truth in case the truth will be useful. These two desires do not neatly coexist, but this is where we are in the story. This episode was written by me, Sam Gunther, and was edited by Dallin Gunther. The music was done by Tom Brinton. Thank you for listening, and please join me next week as I unpack Mad Honey by Jodi Picoult and Jennifer Finley Boylan.